Today's scripture is Psalm 42 and 43. You'll find it in your pew Bible on page 556 and in the large print page 879. The message is entitled The Downcast Soul, and it comes directly from the scripture, as you will clearly see. Psalm 42 for the director of music and master of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. O men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep, and the roar of your waterfalls, all your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then will I go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the heart, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty and all-knowing Father, we thank you for the blessing of your holy, inspired word, inerrant, sufficient for all things having to do with salvation, powerful and effective, always accomplishing the purposes for which you send it out, never returning void. Lord, we pray a blessing of God, the Holy Spirit, upon our hearts, our mind, our ears, and our eyes, that we be prepared to receive, to desire to reveal. Do not let the preacher get in the way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The downcast soul. Do you ever have a conversation with yourself? Probably we all do that because that is how we are constructed. And we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and yet we still have elements of the old self, the old fleshly self. There is that constant push and pull going on within. And we play the what if game. We play the why me game. We play the oh, I should have said that game. You ever do that? If only I had said. We look back over our lives and we wonder what would have happened if we had made different choices. We remember the good times and we remember the bad times. We look forward and we make plans. We consider our circumstances and our opportunities. Maybe we think about success. Maybe we think about escape. The downcast soul of these psalms is wrestling with the past, the present, and the future. He is in a deep, dark place, completely overwhelmed. There is this tremendous thirst for God. There is a sense that somehow God has deserted him, or at least is now hidden from him. He is tormented by real enemies. His circumstances are washing over him in a powerful way. Think about one of those movie scenes where a person has fallen into a raging river and is tumbling downstream. There is a tremendous inward depth to this person's depression. Their bones suffer mortal agony. In this song of depression, we hear the refrain three times, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" The subject of depression needs to be addressed in this day and age. I'm not going to give you all the gory statistics today, maybe next week or the week after. But the tragic suicide of one of our Boy Scouts happened just a few weeks ago, 16 years old. And in a conversation with one of our pickleball players this week, she told me that she had missed the day of playing the previous week. She had been to a funeral of a friend's son who was 20 years old. Again, suicide. Now, certainly most people that cope with their depression do not take their own lives. But at the same time, it can be a long-term and debilitating battle. Likely, every adult and many children have dealt with depression. What can the scripture teach us, and how can it equip us for dealing with depression? We never want to get to the point where we are mortally immobilized. Today, I will lay some groundwork to help us get our footing. We need to have a biblical understanding of what makes us a human being. We need to have an understanding of the worlds in which we live. And yes, I said worlds, plural. And we will begin to look at the reasons for depression. Let me just address one Bible study issue. In many of the Hebrew texts, Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 are just one. They're not separated at all. You'll notice that while Psalm 42 has a heading, which I read to you, Psalm 43 does not. And they also deal with the exact same subject matter. And this is further proved by the refrain that appears twice in Psalm 42 and closes Psalm 43. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." This downcast soul laments the situation even as he knows the solution. Seven times in this song, the author refers to his soul. His soul pants for God. His soul thirsts for the living God. He pours out his soul. Four times he speaks about how dejected is his soul. Remember the story of the two disciples on that first Easter afternoon on their way to Emmaus, right? Luke tells us that their faces were downcast because Jesus of Nazareth had been crucified. But here, our downcast soul feels the pain down deep, way down deep in their inner being, in their soul. Well, what is a human soul? One reference says this: the soul is the life force of the person and often refers to the whole being. It needs to be sustained in order for life to thrive, and it is the seat of desires, emotions, and the will. The soul can be in intimate relationship with God or be under God's judgment. Psalm 62, verse 1, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him." And Jesus warned us in Matthew chapter 10, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Now, I don't often give you the original languages of the Bible, but it will become obvious why I'm doing it now. The Greek word for the inner self, life, and person is psyche. And of course, this is the root word in English of all things related to psychology, psyche. Another reference says, in a narrower sense, the soul denotes man in his buried emotions and inner powers. For instance, man is called to love God with all his heart and soul. The soul comes close to what today would be called the self, one's person, personality, or ego. Well, how does the human spirit, relate to our soul? What is a human spirit? From that same reference that defines soul, it says, spirits refers to a living, intangible essence with rational, emotional, and volitional attributes. The Bible primarily uses the concept of spirit for the non-material living essence of human beings, soul, spirit, inner life, and also for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Wait a second. Seems a little confusing because it sounds like there's a lot of overlap between the soul and the spirit. Yes, that's exactly right. There is. In fact, I compared the Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, the definitions of soul and spirit, and found them to be very strongly connected too, even in the secular understanding of soul and spirit. In Mary's Magnificat, her song, she considers them in parallel. Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Parallel thoughts. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. The Lexham Theological Workbook explains, theologians debate whether the Bible presents human nature as containing three major components, body, soul, and spirit, or only two. Advocates of the bipartite view, the two-part view, argue on theological grounds that soul and spirit cannot be clearly distinguished, which we've already seen. From this perspective, the Greek terms psyche, soul, and pneuma, spirit, belong in the same semantic field. Now, I know that all that's kind of technical, but it's important for us to understand these things. But we have at least two scriptures that argue for human nature having three components. And all the scriptures will be on the website tomorrow. Right? The whole message will be on in text form tomorrow. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Three parts. Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. So it says they're not the same. Joints and marrow. Of course, it refers to our bodies. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You might say that a man has a spirit, but he is a soul. Well, that doesn't quite seem completely adequate for me. Usually, spirit indicates the vitalizing, energizing, empowering agent. And we know that without the spirit, which is the life breath of God, our mortal bodies die. Also recall Jesus' words in John chapter 3, verse 6. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the spirit, Holy Spirit, gives birth to spirit. Why have I spent so much time developing these ideas of soul and spirit? Because we must understand what and who we are according to the scripture. This will equip us to face life, like our downcast soul who is wrestling within himself in our scripture. Through this sermon series, I will also develop the idea that this knowledge is indispensable for dealing with depression, anxiety, and spiritual warfare. This discussion of our soul and spirit directs us towards some critical conclusions. There is another realm. It is the realm where souls and spirits dwell. Paul tells us that when we are absent from the body, we are present with the Lord, right? Most of you know that scripture. This means there is an afterlife, which is a huge deal that we take for granted. Oh yeah, I believe in heaven and hell. I believe in eternity. Do we really? If these things are true, we should be earnestly evangelizing to communicate God's love and God's wrath. Now, having established that we are more than our bodies, what are the implications? Our bodies get worn down and tired. After prolonged stress, we are subject to sickness and injury. There is disease. Our bodies need proper rest, exercise, and nutrition. My friends, all those things apply equally to our soul and spirit. We must be intentional about maintaining our spiritual health, to eat properly, the daily bread, manna from heaven, and drink from that rock in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must exercise our spirit through prayer, worship, meditation on God's word, and acts of mercy. 1 Corinthians 2, starting the 10th verse. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Our downcast soul did not have the blessing of Christ in the way that we do. Imagine the implications of you and I actually embracing this promise of God, seeking the light and the truth, the wisdom from the Holy Spirit that supersedes the wisdom of the world by far. Most of us have that upside down. Now, one way we satisfy our thirst for God is through Holy Communion. It is a means of grace, maybe the most significant means of grace. It is a channel through which the Holy Spirit testifies to our spirit that we are children of the living God. In the liturgy of Holy Communion, we establish our need for God's love and forgiveness. We remember what our Savior has already done for us, and we celebrate the hope of Jesus' return. There's a hymn, Deeper and Deeper, by Pastor Oswald J. Smith. As you hear the lyrics, contrast it with the downcast soul of Psalms 42 and 43. Into the heart of Jesus, deeper and deeper I go, seeking to know the reason why he should love me so. Why he should stoop to lift me up from the miry clay, saving my soul, making me whole, though I had wandered away. Into the joy of Jesus, deeper and deeper I go, rising with soul enraptured, far from the world below. Joy in the place of sorrow, peace in the midst of pain. Jesus will give Jesus will give, he will uphold and sustain. Into the joy of Jesus, deeper and deeper I go, rising the soul in rapture, far from the world below. Into the love of Jesus, deeper and deeper I go, praising the one who brought me out of my sin and woe. And through eternal ages, gratefully I shall sing. Oh, how he loved, oh, how he loved Jesus, my Lord and my King. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Lord, we thank you for the way you have created us, that you created us in your image, male and female. Lord, we seek the wisdom of God that we may know the truth, that we would be discerning, that we would be wise and able to thwart the flaming arrows and darts of the enemy. Lord, I lift up any here that are battling with depression and anxiety, fear, that they would seek to know the Lord Jesus in all his fullness and displace all those things with the joy that comes from God and God alone. Pray this in his wonderful name. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen.